This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In December 2001, Robert Woodward entered a West Brattleboro church brandishing a knife. Woodward was apparently having a psychotic episode that ended when he was shot 7 times and killed by Brattleboro police officers. That incident pointed to a need for better training for law enforcement officers who increasingly find themselves interacting with people in the midst of a mental health crisis. A state law now requires all officers to get 8 hours of training in how to deal with these kinds of situations. And there's an additional voluntary program some officers have enrolled in that's designed to train mental health workers and the police in how to work together in an emergency. Kristen Chandler coordinates that voluntary program, and she joins us now. Hello, Kristen. Nice to have you back.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Jane. Thanks for inviting me.
So is mental health training now standard for all police officers?
Well, what you referred to as the Act 80 training that came out of that Woodward shooting, that's the state-mandated training, and that is standard for all officers, that 8-hour training. The Team 2 training is a voluntary program, but many police officers are signing up to take it because it's the only training where they are training alongside their mental health crisis counterparts in their own region. So they're working with people from their mental health agency who they may be working with in the field, you know, during a crisis. So the training is designed so they can learn together about what each other's limits are, really.
Well, I want to get into that because I want to talk about that idea of how people are working together and collaborating and getting that kind of experience in how to deal with the situation. But before we do that, let's talk about the mandatory training that officers get. And the state-mandated training is an 8-hour training program. Why is it not more integrated into the training, or maybe it is, that new officers get? Because 8 hours doesn't seem like a lot in all of the training that a police officer is getting.
Well, you got to keep in mind that 8 hours that's dedicated just to mental health training is one day out of a very long academy training that officers are going through. So they're learning lots of other skills like de-escalation, use of force, et cetera, that could definitely take a role during a mental health crisis, but that one-day training it's really focused on teaching them the basics of mental illness, talks a lot about clinical aspects of it and medications. We have somebody who comes in who has lived experience, so they learn from somebody who has been through mental health crises and has interacted with police in the past. So it's not the only mental health training that they're going to receive coming out of the academy.
But it is the specific focus on mental health issues for
Correct.
Those hours. And Team 2, which you're the coordinator of, is this voluntary program that you mentioned is a way for people who work in mental health fields to train alongside police officers and law enforcement officers in how to work together in an emergency situation. How does that work? Tell me what it would look like to be doing that training.
So it's a scenario-based training, which means that we have 3 different scenarios that people work through who are at the training. People come together in a large group, and then for those 3 scenarios, they break off into smaller groups. And the trainers and the facilitators for those smaller groups are their peers. So there are about 38 to 40 law enforcement officers and mental health crisis clinicians who've been trained in the curriculum who are on my team in 5 different regions around the state. So at any given training, they're going to be working with people who they know in the training. And then when they go into those small groups, they work through those scenarios. And the 3 different scenarios change every year. And they're based on real actual scenarios that have happened in the past. And it's a way for both law enforcement officers and mental health crisis clinicians to just give their expertise, talk about what would work well for them, what they can't do. They talk a lot about various things that may come up in their specific region, such as cell phone coverage, for example. In some regions, that's a real issue. Other regions, it's not a problem.
How does the cell phone coverage manifest itself in a situation where there may be somebody experiencing a mental health crisis in particular? Or is that just something that's more common to any kind of police interactions?
Well, for crisis clinicians, many times they are on call from their home and they may be using their cell phone as well as a landline. So we talk a lot about one of our scenarios involves a crisis clinician on the phone with a suicidal person, and the clinician wants to somehow try to let the police know that they're on the phone with somebody. So they're having to use two phones. That's where the cell phone coverage in particular is an issue.
You know, it seems intuitive that it would be essential for mental health crisis workers and police officers to work together in a scenario. But what are the challenges to actually making that happen smoothly in what can be a very high stress, possibly chaotic, possibly dangerous situation?
Well, one of the challenges is just building those relationships. If they don't know each other, it's a lot harder to trust each other or to know what each other is going to be able to do at any given scenario or scene in real life. So getting part of the training is to get to know each other and build those relationships. And it happens at every training I've done where people see each other like, oh, you're so-and-so. You know, I've talked to you on the phone. So the challenge is not knowing what the other person has the ability to do or to not do. So a lot of law enforcement officers think that the crisis clinicians are sitting in a sort of sterile office with a big phone bank and lots of resources, and that's often not the case. So it's a way for them to get to know how the crisis workers work and also for the crisis workers to know what the limitations of the officers are and how there's not very many on, maybe at any given shift, especially at night. And sometimes they have their own, protocols and issues that they've got to make sure that they're following before a crisis worker can be contacted.
This is a voluntary program, Team 2. How many Vermont departments have taken advantage of it?
About 54 agencies have participated since 2014 when it started. So there's about 20, I have a list of about 20 agencies that have never sent, even one officer to it. So we're really hopeful to be able to get every agency to participate. And like I said, it's offered all over the state twice a year so that there is an opportunity for those agencies to send people. It's hard for a small police agency to give up an officer for an entire day of training. So I understand that. So we're working on trying to get 100% participation.
Does it cost them anything?
It doesn't. Well, it costs them, the manpower to have somebody gone for a day. Mm. It doesn't. It's free training. Plus, they get free lunch. Always an incentive.
Kristen Chandler is the coordinator of Team 2 Training. It's a statewide curriculum that's designed to train mental health professionals and law enforcement officers in how to work together when they're confronting a person in crisis. Thank you very much for talking with us, Kristen.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
Now, when people have a mental health condition, they're not the only ones who feel the effects of the illness. Tomorrow, as we continue our Mental Health Week on Vermont Edition, we'll look at the unique challenges faced by the family, caregivers, and other loved ones of people with mental illness. You can send your questions and your experiences to vermontedition@vpr.net and listen live tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Mary Williams directed the show. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels, and our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening. Hey, podcast listeners, you might have heard about this whole tripod thing. All this month, we're asking you to help a friend try a new podcast. Think of someone special in your life, then recommend a show that's right up their alley. If they're new to this whole podcasting thing, you can walk them through the steps to listen and subscribe. Then please share your recommendation with the hashtag tripod. That's spelled T-R-Y pod. That way we can all get some new recommendations. And thank you for spreading the pod love. Thank you.